L520. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And we begin our studies today with the first verse of the 25th chapter. Here we come upon a new king over Judah, Amaziah. We read that Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. To reign is to govern. And he governed 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadin of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That's good. But he didn't do it with a perfect heart. His heart was just not complete in this matter. Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established, and the kingdom would be his government, this was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king, his father. But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. Now we're told that Amaziah gathered Judah together. Now notice, first it's Judah he gathers together, and he made them, that is, he appointed them captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered from them from 20 years old above, and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. He hired also, now note this, he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel. That's the northern kingdom. And these were hired mercenaries. He hired them for 100 talents of silver. They would fight with anyone or against anyone if they were paid a price. So when he did this and added these 100,000 mighty men out of the northern kingdom, there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel. He is not with this northern kingdom or any soldiers that come out of there, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. So here we have not really a new term, but a term used in a new way, where the northern kingdom will be referred to as Ephraim. And this will be used in a collective sense for the northern 10-tribe kingdom. So it might be called Israel, it might be called Ephraim. I sometimes like to refer to these two units as being Judah-Israel, that's the southern kingdom, and Ephraim-Israel being the northern 10-tribe kingdom. But he says, if thou wilt go without these, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath part of help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? He's thinking about what money he will lose if he obeys the directions of this man of God. And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. He'll repay you if you do that which is right in his sight. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim. That would be the northern 10-tribe kingdom, now called Ephraim. The army that has come to him out of Ephraim, he told them to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. Well, Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people. And he went to the Valley of Salt and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. And the other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive, and brought them under the top of the rock, and cast them down the top of the rock, and they all were broken in pieces. Now, but the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to the battle, they fell upon the cities of Judah. They're quite angry, and on their way back, they fell upon the cities from Samaria, even unto Beth Horon, and smote 3,000 of them, and they took much spoil. What these soldiers were probably interested in was getting into the spoils of battle after it was over with. So, having been sent back without even fighting, although they were paid for what they did, they take it out on the cities of Judah, and they took much spoil. Now it came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir, and set them up to be his gods. It's hard for us to understand how quickly these people could switch from the true God into idols, but they would see these, and they looked so attractive, and they thought, well, we will add this to our gods. We'll have the whole roster of them. And he bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. Now we're told the anger the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? Could not deliver thine own people out of their hand. And it came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbore and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and you have not hearkened to my counsel. In the 17th verse, we're told that Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice, and he sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, Come, let us see one another in the face. And this means, let us meet. And the idiom here would be, let us meet in conflict. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, The thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, Give thy daughter to my son for wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon, and trode down the thistle. Thou sayest, Lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart lifteth thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee? But Amaziah would not hear. See, the northern king does not want to fight. But Amaziah would not hear. For it came of God, that he might deliver them in the hands of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. So Joash, the king of Israel, went up. And they saw one another in the face, both he and Amaziah, king of Judah, at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. The army is scattered. Every man is going home as fast as he can get there. And so here Judah is defeated by the northern kingdom of Israel. And Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, to Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and the silver, and all the vessels that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, and the treasures of the king's house, the hostages also, and he returned to Samaria. And Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, son of Joahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. Now we're told in the 26th verse of his death. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? Now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem. And he fled to Lachish, But they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. Now, that's a brief look at the 25th chapter. We go on to the 26th chapter. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. That's a long time. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. That is, the things that his father Amaziah did that was right. He did these. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. This was God's administration at that time. Prosperity followed faithfulness to God. It will not always follow it in this time, but it will guarantee us food and raiment, and with that we're supposed to be content. Well, he went forth and warred against the Philistines. He broke down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines, and against the Arabians that dwelt at Gerbaal, and the Mehinims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even the entering into Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert, and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husband also and vine dressers in the mountains, and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. He liked to be a farmer, we would say. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to them to their account, by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe of Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. Under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500. And made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be upon the towers and upon the bulwarks. These engines were really slings, giant sling-like arrangements by which they could cast a boulder an enormous distance. And this boulder crashing into a wall could tear a breach into it and allow invaders to enter. So they had these engines of war, which were invented by cunning men, to be on the towers and on the bulwarks. And they were to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, and this happens to so many, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. And he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Certainly the priests were under the king. This made the king feel that he had the right to do this if he cared to do so. And he intruded here in the priest's office because this was their duty, and it had been established by God, and he was not to upset the order. Now Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king. And they said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, it doesn't belong to thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord. It belongs to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from thee, Lord God. Well, then Uzziah was wroth. He had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the altar. He was smitten of God, and he was smitten with leprosy. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. And he dwelt in a several house. That would be a house that was separated from all the rest, because he was a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. He could not go in the temple. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now we're told the rest of the acts of Uzziah. First and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write? And of course there is quite a bit in the book of Isaiah about this man. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper. And Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Now this brings us to the 27th chapter, which is the reign of Jotham. He was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers. He fought also with the king of the Ammonites, and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100,000 talents of silver, 10,000 measures of wheat, 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him, both the second year and the third. So Jotham became mighty, because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Then we're told the rest of the acts of Jotham, all his wars and ways. Lo, they're written in the books of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and Jotham slept with his fathers. They buried him in the city of David, and Ahaz his son reigned in his stead. Now we come to something that is really quite dark indeed. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the king of Israel, that's the king of the northern kingdom, and he made molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. This was a frightful condition indeed, that he would just simply imitate and burnt this incense in the valley of the sons of Hinnom. Now, says, wherefore the Lord his God delivered him in the hand of the king of Syria, and they smote him, and carried away a great multitude of them captives, brought these captives to Damascus. He was also delivered in the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day. These were all brave men, valiant men. And the reason was because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. And Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, that would be the 10-tribe northern kingdom, slew Maaseiah, the king's son. And Azrikam, the governor of the house, and Elkanah that was next to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive their brethren, 200,000 women, sons and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and they brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded. And he went out before the host that came to Samaria, and said unto them, Behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hands, and ye have slain them in a rage that reacheth up unto heaven. Now the Bible always says, the heaven for height, and the earth for depth. While this is a figure of speech, but the rage went just as high as it could possibly go. Now he purposed to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you. But are there not with you sins against the Lord your God? Now hear me therefore, and deliver the captives again, which you have taken captive of your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. Then certain of the heads of the children of Ephraim, and this would be the 10-tribe kingdom now called Ephraim, Azariah the son of Johanan, Berechiah the son of Meshillemoth, and Jehizkiah the son of Shallum, and Amasa the son of Hadlai, they stood up against them that came from war, and said, Ye shall not bring in the captives hither. For whereas we have offended against the Lord already, you intend to add more your sins unto our trespass. For our trespass is great, and there's fierce wrath against Israel. So the armed men left the captives, and the spoil before the princes, and all the congregation. And that word again I would note is Kahal. This would be the ecclesia of the 10-tribe northern kingdom. And the men which were expressed by name rose up, and they took the captives, and with the spoil clothed all who were naked among them, and arrayed them, and shod them, gave them shoes, gave them to eat and drink, and anointed them, carried all the feeble of them upon asses, and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brethren. Then they returned to Samaria. At that time did Ahaz send into the kings of Assyria to help him. He wants the king of Assyria to come help him. For again the Edomites had come and smitten Judah, and they'd carried away the captives. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the Low Country and of the south of Judah, and had taken Beth Shemesh, Ajalon, Gederoth, and Shoko with the villages thereof, and Timnah with the villages thereof, Gimzo also the villages thereof, and they dwelt there. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. That is, Ahaz had made Judah naked, stripped of everything, and transgressed sore against the Lord. And Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came unto him, and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord, and out of the house of the king and of the princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. He was taking pay for it, but wouldn't help. And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that King Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, Because the gods of the king of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice them, and they may help me. That was his reasoning. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God, and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God, and shut up in the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several city of Judah he made high places to burn incense unto other gods, and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel. This king was just going forth on an insane orgy of idol worship, believing that these idols would help them if he just did enough religious things, enough acts in regard to these idols. Now we're told in the 26th verse that the rest of the acts, out of all his ways first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem. But they brought him not in the sepulchres of the king of Israel. And Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead. Well now, what about Hezekiah, who is now king over Judah, as mentioned so much in the book of Isaiah? We read that Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, or Abijah, if you like that, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. Now we will read of a most interesting revival of true faith, of Yahwehism, that occurred in the reign of Hezekiah. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed, and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, have turned away their face from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. And they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps. They have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. He takes Israel of all the people, of course. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives and are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye would minister unto him and burn incense. But then the Levites arose, Mahath the son of Amasiah, and Joel the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites, the sons of Moriah, Kish the son of Abdi, and Azariah the son of Jehaliel, and of the Gershonites, Joah the son of Zimah, and Eden the son of Joah, of the sons of Elizaphan, Shimri, and Jael, and of the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, Mattaniah, the sons of Heman, Jehiel, and Shimei, and of the sons of Jeduthun, Shimei, and Uzziel. They gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the command of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. You will notice that the word Lord there, both are in small capitals, and that means that is Yahweh. Some would say Jehovah, and that's all right, but Yahweh is more closely related to the true name. And the priests went into the inner parts of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness they found in the temple of the Lord in the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. And they began on the first day of the month to sanctify. On the eighth day of the month they came to the porch of the Lord, and they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. The 16th day of the first month they made an end. And they went in to Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of the burnt offering, all the vessels thereof, the shewbread table with all the vessels thereof." See, these things have been vandalized by the idol worshippers and so corrupted they had to be cleansed. "Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they're before the altar of the Lord." Well, then Hezekiah the king rose early. He gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. They brought 7 bullocks, 7 rams, 7 lambs, 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bullocks, and the priests received the blood, sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar, killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. And they brought forth the goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation. That's Kahal once again, the king and the ecclesia. And they laid their hands upon them, and the priests killed them. And they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. He reaches out, takes in the whole thing. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals. By the way, I should mention there that there were enough people from all the tribes in Israel so that it was completely represented there, and this could be for all of Israel, even though there were many in the north kingdom and seemed to have nothing to do with it. Verse 25 of chapter 29, he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and with psalteries and with harps according to the commandment of David and of God, of Gad the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets, and with the instruments ordained by David king of Israel. And all the congregation, that's the Kahal, worshipped. The singers sang. The trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when the king had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves in worship. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness. They bowed their heads in worship. Then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings in the house of the Lord." And the congregation, that's the Kahal, which in the Greek would be ecclesia, they brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation, that's the Kahal, brought was 70 bullocks, 100 rams, 200 lambs, and these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few, so they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Therefore their brethren and the Levites did help them till the work was ended, until the other priests had sanctified themselves, and the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace offering, the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people, that God had prepared the people, for this thing was done suddenly. It just happened. And it happened because that God had prepared it and made it ready. It was done suddenly. Now in chapter 30, notice here, Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah. He sends to every one of them. He wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. It had not been kept for a long time. And now they're going to keep this Passover to the Lord God of Israel at the temple. So Hezekiah, in the magnificence of his heart, he sent to all Israel and Judah, even sending letters to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to Passover. Now, in the second verse, for the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the Kahal in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. That's the word Kahal once again. This would be the king's ecclesia, these men that had a position that put them outside the people, but the position was out of the king. Now, they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan. See, they're going through all of Israel, the northern kingdom as well as the southern kingdom. That's the utmost limits, Dan on the north, Beersheba on the south, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it for a long time in such sort as it was written. So the post went with the letters from the kings to his and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah. And according to the commandment of the king, saying, "Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hands of the king of Assyria. And be not ye like your fathers, and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, before therefore gave them up to desolation, as ye see. Now be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but shield in yourselves unto the Lord." This yielding would be a case of submitting. This is what the New Testament would call metanoia, which has been wretchedly translated with the word repentance. "But yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, for which he hath sanctified forever." That's Olam, which means in perpetuity. "And serve Yahweh your Elohim, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into his land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn his face from you if you return unto him." So we read that the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. And they seemed to have been the rulers, but the people were involved in this. Nevertheless, in spite of this, divers of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. So that when they did observe this, the people of Israel were very well represented. You see, here other tribes are mentioned. Asher, Zebulun, Manasseh, they've come to Jerusalem. Also, in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king of the princes by the word of the Lord. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month. It was a very great congregation. Now this was a very great kahal, because this was representative of every tribe in Israel, where their leaders and their princes would all assemble in Jerusalem and it represented every one of the Tel tribes. Now we read in verse 14, they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem. All the altars for incense took they away, and they cast them into the brook Kidron. Well, I believe I'll need to stop there. I see that I'm going to run out of time before I get through the chapter, and I'd like to stop at this point, the 14th verse, and we'll take up our study in the next message. Now, really all that I'm doing is reading this to you. Because I want you to become familiar with the biblical language, the biblical terms, actually what took place. I'm calling your attention to certain words in the Hebrew because of their importance to the understanding of the New Testament, especially the word kahal and the word olam. You know, this word kahal becomes very prominent because when we get up to the end of this chapter, it's going to come in 5 times before we get through. All at once it comes in, and we can tell exactly what this is. That this is the public servant, shall we say, in Israel, under the king, and they're called the kahal, the ecclesia, the outposition ones. Well, that's all that I have time for in this broadcast. It has been my joy to teach you. And I would like to say, in the words of Artaxerxes to Ezra, perfect peace and at such a time. Now, these are difficult times. They're periods of peril. And evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. But in Jesus Christ, may I say to you, perfect peace and at such a time. Most appropriate. Well, until we meet again around the pages of God's book, I bid you goodbye. Yours in truth, Otis Q. Sellers.